That was definitely worth waiting for. Thank you. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 12. And it's verses 32 through 40. If you would like to follow along, you're welcome to do that. Jesus is once again speaking to his disciples in what is called the final discourse. Listen to his words for us today. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. And if he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, then blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? God of all knowledge, quiet any voice inside of us besides yours, and may the words of my mouth honor you and you alone. Amen. This past week, the famed writer and Nobel Prize-winning author Toni Morrison died. It's not surprising that she wrote about slavery, women who suffer, and those who make sacrifices on behalf of their children. For she grew up the granddaughter of a slave in an impoverished family in the working town of Lorain, Ohio. Later, she was a single mother. She managed to climb out of poverty by virtue of her hard work and her education. And she became a voice for the black voiceless female. And while I was in divinity school, I read Morrison's book, Beloved, for my ethics class. It's one of the most difficult books I have ever tried to read. Not only was the meaning difficult to understand and what was happening, it was painful to read for the sheer reality that it portrayed. The plot is based on the true story of a young African-American woman who escaped slavery in the 1800s. However, soon she is apprehended by slave catchers. But before she is caught, she kills her 3-year-old daughter. Her thought process went something like this: the life of a slave is no life at all, and I must spare my child. In the book, Seth, the main character and the mother of the child, is tortured by her decision and tortured by her beloved daughter's ghost. The book was painful. Painful to read, as many truth-telling books are. Jesus also makes references to slaves and slavery multiple times during his ministry. It's a concept his disciples and followers could understand, as many of them were, in essence, slaves to the Roman occupiers. Jesus says, "Whoever is first must be a slave to all." And then he enacts this proclamation by washing the feet of his disciples at the Last Supper. Most of us know that story. But it's this upside-down way of thinking in which Jesus speaks in our scripture today. "Blessed are those slaves," he says, "whom the master finds alert when he comes. For the master will fasten his belt and have the slave sit down to eat. And the master will come and serve them." This is not the way things happen in this world. Rich people don't serve poor people in general. Multi-million-dollar CEOs don't offer chunks of their salaries to those making $8 or $10 or $12 an hour trying to feed a family of four. Not in this world. And if I may generalize just a bit, many, not all, but many of those people making $8, $10, and $12 an hour are either black or immigrants in our country. So I'll admit something that's very hard to hear. It's hard for me, and possibly it's hard for you. In our world and in our country, white people have the most to lose following the message of Jesus based on our current cultural values. If money and things and houses and fancy electronic toys, pensions and posh retirements are what we want and what we value, we have much to lose if we are to do what Jesus asks: sell our possessions and become like slaves. But even more importantly, the white power and privilege and influence and dominance that we once enjoyed is draining away. White people are sharing power now more with those of other skin colors, and others are gaining ground on our power and our influence. If one group has the most power, when things begin to change, the only place to go is down. Whoever is first must be last. "What kind of sermon is this?" you say. "I didn't come here to hear this. It's not good news for me." Don't give up on me yet. Don't zone out. Some people are really angry about this shift in power happening today. Some of them are turning to white nationalism, saying we are being displaced by immigrants, people who are black, or whomever, you fill in the blank. They are taking our jobs, our power, our money, whatever it is. Some of these white nationalists are turning to violence. I don't really have to tell you that if you read the news or if you are a breathing person. And this random violence is devastating, and it's painful, and it's destructive, and it's destroying lives all over the place. And it's not what God wants for our lives, and it's wrong on many levels. Some days I feel like the world is out of control, and I can't do a thing about it. However, our scripture passage has a completely different message. It's a message of hope amidst the pain of loss and death, Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the changes. Don't be afraid of the upheaval. Don't be afraid of anything. For it is, present tense, God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. God walks with us and with those who grieve. God is present and at work in all that is happening to give us God's grace, love, joy, forgiveness. It's all yours and all mine. And it's all for the people who have hatred in their hearts. It's not going to be one day in some far-off future land, but it's today. It's this day. However, God has put the ball in our court now. Jesus tells his followers that they must be dressed for action, with their lamps lit. They must be alert and aware. So what is it? Alert to what? And aware of what? I believe we must be aware of our privilege. Privilege as Americans, as white people, many of us, born into a world where we have been given much privilege. If Jesus lives in every person created and everything created, then when Jesus knocks, we must be prepared to receive and acknowledge and lift up and be equal with those who are different from us. Then and only then can we sit at a table together and be served side by side by the God who loves all of us. Sometimes being dressed for action means listening to that other in our midst. In this country, sports is important to many people. And sports and politics have naturally mixed and clashed in unexpected ways. While pro football is not my favorite sport, I still believe we can learn a lot from those who play it. So last Saturday evening, 8 people were inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Weren't you watching it? Were you watching it? During his induction speech, Champ Bailey, who played quarterback for Washington and Denver, spoke eloquently to those of us who are white about being a black man in our country. He says this, "We say this to all our white friends," Bailey begins, "when we tell you about our fears, please listen. When we tell you that we fear for our kids, please listen. When we tell you that there are many challenges we face because of the color of our skins, please listen. And please do not get caught up in how the message is delivered. Most of us are athletes, but we're black men first. Understand this, the things that make us great on the field, our size and our aggression, are the things that can get us killed off the field. I believe if we start listening, there's no telling the progress we can make. If we can't get our friends to listen, then no one will." Sometimes being dressed for action means loving those who are hard to love. Maybe loving even those who have hatred in their hearts. If those who hate are loved, maybe, just maybe, their hearts will be softened. And maybe when we have hate in our hearts, someone will be there to love us and listen to us as well. Jesus is clear. that the master comes when we least expect it. The person who needs to talk, the person who needs to be loved, shows up at the most inconvenient time, the unexpected hour, during the family dinner, during worship, at midnight, when we have a presentation due, when we're preparing for vacation. That person shows up. Jesus calls us to be dressed for action, listen to their stories, better understand them. If we understand them, we can better understand our own story collectively. Toni Morrison came as an outsider, telling the stories of women who were enslaved. She was a voice for the voiceless. Her stories help us understand where we've been so that we can hopefully move forward, so that we can all begin to heal from the wounds, some of which we created. Being dressed for action means letting go of ourselves, our own needs, our own concerns, and being aware and open to the other. We're called to be alert to the other because that other person, who may not be like us, is a child of God. Blessed are the slaves who are alert, says Jesus, for no matter their skin color or any difference they might have, they will sit together at table and the master will come and the master will serve them. In the name of God, gives us the kingdom, Jesus who challenges us, and the spirit of faith and hope. Amen.